The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You are now listening to the Calcio Corner Podcast with your host, Raffaele.
What's good? This is indeed the Calcio Corner Podcast, where we cover all corners of Italian football and more. My name is Raffaele. I thank you for taking the time to listen to this, the 39th episode of the podcast. Please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. You can follow me on Twitter. My account is at ItalianoCalcio. And be sure to use the hashtag TheCalcioCorner on Twitter. So we will start off this 39th episode of the podcast by talking about the action from round 21 in Serie A. And as always, we will recap it with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's start with the good. First good, and I didn't think I'd be starting with them, but how about that performance from Torino against Atalanta on Saturday? Torino came all the way back to earn a 3-3 draw and get a really big point out of that match. Atalanta had taken a 3-0 lead in the first half, and all three of those goals were scored in about a 7-minute span. So we really saw that, you know, that brilliance of Atalanta, their ability to just flip that switch and totally, you know, overpower a team with their offensive skills and talent. So Torino kind of, you know, they got punched right in the mouth, 7 minutes, concede three goals. This Torino side could have easily have folded right then and there, but they didn't. Torino got two goals right before half to make it 3-2 and give themselves that sense of belief heading into the second half. And they ended up getting the late equalizer from Federico Bonazzoli nearing stoppage time to again earn a 3-3 draw. So it was a great spirited comeback by Torino. When you consider, you know, how close they are to that relegation zone, what a massive point this is against Atalanta. A really good Atalanta side. They almost like stole this point considering down three goals. Torino now unbeaten over their last four games. All have been draws, but still unbeaten. They're picking up points, and that's what's most important. This side has responded better ever since Davide Nicola has taken over and replaced Marco Giampaolo as the coach. So a good comeback draw for Torino. So I definitely thought that they were worthy with that performance of being mentioned among the good and at least getting the honors of starting off this podcast by the first mention. For Atalanta, you know, you can't just collapse like this. You're battling for a top four spot and you blow a 3-0 lead at home against Torino. As I mentioned, Torino have been playing a little bit more better under Davide Nicola. So it's not this totally, you know, folding Torino side that they were playing against, but still a bad draw for Atalanta. Bad result for them. We'll see if this, you know, the dropping of these 2 points comes back to hurt them as we draw closer to the end of the season. I also wanted to shout out Andrea Belotti. In the first half, he was taken down by Christian Romero. You know, Romero kind of, he barely touched Belotti, but the ref was ready to hand Romero a yellow card. He actually had the card out and showed it to him, but Belotti had told the ref that, you know, he shouldn't have given Romero the card. There was really no touch. It was more like Belotti kind of tripping on himself. And eventually the ref did take away that yellow card. So I thought that was great to see from Belotti. It was great sportsmanship by him. We know that, you know, diving is a big issue in the world of football. We know that we see it all the time, players adamantly campaigning for their opponents to get a yellow card all the time for the smallest of touches. So I thought it was, you know, a breath of fresh air and a relief and a nice change up to kind of see Belotti doing the opposite and convincing the ref not to give Romero this yellow card and that he didn't deserve it. So that was nice to see out of this game. And perhaps if you're someone who believes in karma and good fortune, perhaps Belotti's, you know, goodwill gesture played a role in Torino's comeback. Another good from this past weekend, Inter. They were the ones who got round 21 started off with their game against Fiorentina on Friday. They had a nice win, 2-0 over La Viola. Hakimi had himself a great game in this one. Hakimi, for me, he's just one of my favorite players to watch in this league. He's such a special talent. He's so much fun to watch flying down the, you know, the side of the pitch and getting involved in the offensive phase of the game. You know, there was no doubt in my mind. I talked about this way back when the signing was made, that I thought he'd be a perfect fit for Inter. He'd be a perfect fit for Conte's system, and that's certainly showing. Barella scored a goal in this game. He's having just a tremendous, remarkable season. It's great to see that he's finally starting to get more of that recognition that he deserves, especially the way he's been playing between last season and this season. He's a player that's really come a long way under Conte's guidance. So Barella had himself a nice game. Ivan Perisic had by far his best game since he has rejoined Inter this season. Perisic, he scored a goal. He nearly had another one on what was a nice shot off of a set piece, but it was good for Inter fans probably to see Perisic back on the score sheet and contributing positively in this game. He got the, you know, rare start given the quantity and density of all these games that Inter being thrown their way. So Perisic made the most of that start, so good for him. One good from this game from a Fiorentina standpoint was the play of their goalie, Drakowski. He made some terrific saves in this game, and if it weren't for his performance, I think Inter might have won this game 4-0, maybe 5-0. So got to give some credit to Drakowski. Fiorentina can't afford to lose him because, you know, he's about all that they have right now that's trying to keep this side afloat and hope that they avoid relegation. And I'm sure in some ways Drakowski would love to move on and join a more competitive side. And, you know, I think he might be ready to make that jump in his career at this point. You know, ironically enough, he put in this great performance against Inter. And we know that Inter, you know, need to start looking for that eventual replacement for Handanovic, who made a nice couple of nice saves in this game himself. So he had a pretty good performance as well for Inter in this one. And whether Inter decide to move on this summer from Handanovic or maybe stick with him for another season and eventually look for someone after the following season, I would tell Inter, why not look at Drakowski? I mean, they saw him put on this remarkable performance against them in this game. He knows this league well. He's a pretty good goalie who's only improving. He's only 23 years old, so he has a lot more room for improvement. He's still gaining that experience. He makes, you know, he's really good at those late reaction saves. He made a few of those against Inter. We've seen him save a few penalties this season. I think he denied Franchesi of Milan a penalty this season, if I'm not mistaken. And we know Kessier is one of the better penalty takers in the league. So I just think Drakowski would be a good goalie for Inter to consider replacing Handanovic whenever they feel that move is necessary. But I know Fiorentina would not want to lose Drakowski again because he's such a good young player, only 23 years old. But I thought, as I was watching this game, I kind of felt that he would be a good fit for Inter in the future to eventually replace Handanovic. I'm not going to kill Fiorentina, as I often do on this podcast. I'm sure I'll have plenty of opportunities to do that going forward. But, you know, they really put in almost no effort. It was a bad performance against Inter in this one. And when you see what Torino were able to do, as I just talked about, how they were able to come back from a 3-0 deficit against a good Atalanta side and earn a draw. I mean, if you're a Fiorentina fan, you have to just be so frustrated with what's going on this season and also confused and puzzled, because I know it's got me puzzled. When you look at this team, I'm not saying they're loaded with talent, but they have way more talent than a team that, you know, is in danger of potentially being relegated and having the poor run results that they're having. So it's outstanding what's happening with them in a negative way this season. Prandelli has, you know, had glimpses of having this team make some marginal improvement, but they're just really a poor team. It's hard to like stick my finger on what exactly is going on with them. I mean, as I mentioned, we saw Torino fight back against Atalanta. I'm going to talk about in a little bit what Spezia did this weekend. We see these type of results from these lower level teams, lower table teams, getting some positive results throughout the season, and then Fiorentina can't do any of that. So it's still puzzling to me what's going on in Florence, but we'll see if they'll ever be able to kind of piece it together this season. Another good from this weekend, Juventus, they beat Roma 2-0. It was a good win for the Bianconeri against a Roma side that I think is a solid side. I know people have their mixed feelings about Roma this season. I think they're a pretty good side. But, you know, I definitely think Juve are the better team, and no doubt it showed on in this game. They won 2-0. Roma controlled, you know, the possession mostly in that first half. They actually maintained more possession than Juve overall for this game. But they really couldn't do anything with that possession. You know, I know we, you know, it's talked about a lot in the world of football. You teams that have maintained most possession, but it's what you do with that possession that matters. And Roma really weren't able to create many chances in front of goal in this game. They really weren't able to put pressure on Chesney. It seemed like Spinazzola had the ball almost the entire first half. I mean, it seemed like every moment in that first half, Spinazzola had the ball. He would dribble it near the box, and then nothing would really come from it. They couldn't create anything. And I felt, and I said it on Twitter at the time, I felt that they needed that big target in the box to cross the ball into. Obviously, Dzeko would have been that guy. He didn't start, but he did come on later in the second half. So he finally got reintegrated to the team. But again, he did not start. Fonseca still stuck with Morial, but he did nothing in this game, really. So I just felt that they were they were crying out for that big target in the box to get the ball into, because again, they maintained the possession. They were playing pretty good in that first half. Second half, we saw a little bit better from Juventus. Cristiano Ronaldo, he scored the first goal in the 13th minute out of nothing. I mean, that's the type of magic and the difference that Cristiano Ronaldo provides and why he's so critical to this Juve side. His ability to just score that goal out of thin air, out of nothing, when his team really wasn't doing much. They gave him the lead and they never looked back. A Juventus player who really does deserve a shout-out from this game was Giorgio Chiellini. He totally turned back the clock and put in one of those vintage performances that we've seen him do so many times throughout his career. He was really outstanding in this game. Even his partner Bonucci had a good game. And, you know, I talked about how Roma controlled the possession, particularly in that first half, and did nothing with it. And a big reason why was that performance that Chiellini and Bonucci put in. It was one of those vintage performances from both of them, but Chiellini, more so than Bonucci, put in an outstanding performance. So big win for Juventus as they move into third place now. And when you consider some of the other results that happened this weekend, some of the teams losing and drawing in this round towards the top of the table, I thought it was a great weekend for them. So good job by Juve jumping into third place. Another good from this weekend, Milan beat Crotone 4-0. I know they were playing, you know, last place team. It certainly first versus last. It was a game that Milan had to win and they won 4-0. But, you know, in some ways, there's some pressure, I think, on these bigger clubs to perform and not just come away with 3 points against these lower level teams, but also, you know, you kind of got to make a statement win. You can't squeak by a 1-0 win. So Milan dominated 4-0, although Crotone did create a few chances throughout the game, particularly in that first half. But again, you know, there was a little pressure on Milan given they saw Inter win and Juventus win the day before. So Milan put in a great performance. Zlatan Ibrahimovic scoring 2 goals, Ante Rebic scoring the other 2. Çalhanoğlu, he made his return to Milan and they were happy to see him back. He assisted both of the Rebic goals. Rafael Leao had a great assist on that first Zlatan Ibrahimovic goal. If you haven't seen that, definitely check out that one. So Milan were clicking. Teo Hernandez put in a good performance. Overall, Donnarumma wasn't tested too much. Tomori also got another start for Milan, so all is good for the Rossoneri. Big 4-0 win over Crotone. They maintain first place. Inter still 2 points behind. As I mentioned, Juve moving up the table in third place, so things are certainly getting interesting, but a nice win for Milan. My final good of the weekend has to be Lazio beating Cagliari 1-0. Ciro Immobile, he scored the goal in the second half. He was the difference in this game, as you know, we've seen this many times during his time at Lazio. His goals tend to make the difference for Lazio. So they win. Not a surprise that they beat a really bad Cagliari side. For Simone Inzaghi's side, this is now 6 wins in a row for Lazio. They move all the way up into fourth place in Serie A. So they leapfrog Roma into the top four. So now we have Milan, Inter, Juve, and Lazio occupying those 4 Champions League spots. Lazio just, you know, for what it's worth, they're only 9 points behind Milan. Again, as I mentioned, they would have to also catch Juve. They do have to catch Inter. All these teams are playing well. But, you know, to totally just discredit Lazio right now at this point, I don't know how you could do that given their form and how good and talented of a team they are. Cagliari, obviously, I mean, what's left to be said about this side? This is now 15 games in a row in all competitions that they have failed to get a win. If you recall last weekend against Sassuolo, they were so close to getting a win. They conceded literally like a last second goal in stoppage time to Jeremy Boga to allow Sassuolo to get a draw. So, you know, Cagliari missed their opportunity to get a win last week. They lose this one. That's 15 games in a row again without a win. You kind of saw it towards the end of the game, DeFrancesco. He was about as upset as I really could ever recall seeing him. And you just wonder, like, is the pressure starting to get to him? You know, this run of results, it's got to be wearing on him. Although, if you do recall, he did get a contract extension a few weeks ago, which I know surprised me and surprised many, I'm sure. So, you know, is his job in jeopardy? You would think no, given that extension. But that doesn't mean that this pressure isn't starting to get to him. And when you consider, you know, the way the Serie A table is right now, currently occupying the relegation zone, it's Cagliari, Parma, and Crotone. Heading into the season, you know, to see Crotone there wouldn't surprise you heading into the season to say if you were told, you know, after 21 rounds, Crotone would be in the bottom three. But if you had predicted preseason that Cagliari and Parma may potentially be relegated, I hope you got pretty good money on those betting odds, because I don't know how many people would have predicted that. I know I didn't. I expected Cagliari to, you know, finish in that 13, 14, 15 range. Parma, I thought, could be a mid-table team, maybe 11, 12th. Again, to see those two teams in the bottom half, in the relegation zone is totally surprising to me at this point in the season, more than halfway through the season. And there seems to be no end in sight for Cagliari, no end in sight for Parma. So it certainly has to be worrying times for those two clubs and those two fan bases that they're potentially staring down, you know, the prospect of dropping to Serie B at the end of the season. All right, moving on to the bad from this weekend. Sassuolo dropping more points. They lose 2-1 to Spezia after taking a 1-0 lead. And, you know, I've said this in the past about Sassuolo. I know they got off to a really good start this season, and they were up there. They were top four for a little bit. They were threatening for Champions League contention, Europa League contention. We were all, you know, falling in love with this team and the work that Roberto De Zerbi was doing. But I felt that they were a bit of an imposter team, and I called them that earlier on this podcast in previous episodes. You know, most of their points early on in the season came against bad teams, and not that that's a bad thing, right? If you want to be one of the top teams in the league, you have to beat up on those bad teams, and that's what they were doing. So we were kind of, you know, falling in love with this team, as I said. But when they were facing the top teams, they pretty much lost them all. I know they beat Napoli early in the season, but outside of that Napoli win, they lost to Milan when they faced them. They lost to Inter. They lost to Atalanta. They lost to Juve. They lost to Lazio. So when they were facing the big boys, the team that they would actually have to compete with if they wanted to finish top four, you know, they were losing to those teams. So I just thought that they were a bit of an overhyped team. I know they've been without Domenico Berardi, which hasn't been helping them. Francesco Caputo has kind of, you know, cooled off a little bit. He's not riding high this season like we saw last season and we saw early on. You know, and I think that imposter title that I gave them is starting to show. No wins for Sassuolo in their last five league games. They lost three of them in that span. Also, the other two games during this winless streak for them were draws against Parma and Cagliari. These are two of the worst teams in the league, and you can't pick up a win against those teams again. So it's just a bad run of results for Sassuolo, so they land as one of my bads. But let's give Spezia their credit. They continue to have their solid debut season in Serie A with this 2-1 win over Sassuolo. It's a good win. It's three good points for them. Kudos to Vincenzo Italiano, the work that he's been doing. You know, they now have 21 points, and obviously they're nowhere near clear from, you know, that danger of being relegated, but they're certainly looking like a side that, you know, despite all the odds coming into the season, they might be staying up in Serie A. And, you know, it's hard to argue that they don't deserve that. They're a feisty team, as I said. They play hard. They never back down. So kudos to, you know, Spezia getting this win, and the work that Vincenzo Italiano is doing with the side is tremendous. But from that Sassuolo standpoint, certainly a bad from this weekend. No wins in their last five games. They certainly got to figure that out quickly for that club. Another bad for me this weekend was Verona losing 2-0 to Udinese. Verona, they've now lost two in a row. They lost three out of their last four. I'm not saying you press the panic button if you're a Verona fan, but certainly Ivan Juric has to figure this out and get this team back on track. They brought in Kevin Lasagna during the January Mercato, hoping that he could help provide some spark offensively, because we know this team has struggled to score goals this season, but, you know, Lasagna hasn't quite provided that spark in the few games he's been at Verona, but they lose this game. You know, you just hope that this skid doesn't continue, because Verona have been one of the, you know, the big stories in Serie A this season, even last season. You know, we all love what Ivan Juric is doing with this club, so let's see if they could turn this around. But, you know, they have a disappointing loss, but a positive spin to this game. Let's give Udinese credit. This is two wins in a row for them. They've now unbeaten over their last four games. You got to give Luca Gotti some credit. The club has stuck with him. I know a lot of us, including myself, felt that he should have been fired earlier on in the season, but, you know, they've kind of turned things around, and it's interesting. So they let Lasagna go. They sell Rolando Mandragora. They lose him to Torino, so they lose a few pieces, and yet here they are still playing well. So kudos to Udinese. Good job by Luca Gotti. This team is certainly moving up towards the middle of the table, but I was kind of looking for Verona to bounce back and beat a Udinese team that certainly, I know, as I mentioned, they're playing a little bit better, but it wasn't a team that they couldn't beat. I wanted to see how Verona responded from that loss against against Roma last week, and they kind of, you know, disappointed a bit. Silvestri did play really well in goal for Verona, but again, I didn't get that bounce back performance that I was hoping for from Verona, so we'll see if Ivan Juric could turn things around, you know, next week for them. Now for my ugly from this past weekend. This is the second time Napoli have been given this dubious honor. Napoli lose 2-1 to Genoa. That's certainly an ugly result. It's a bad result for me, in my opinion. I know they were, you know, down some key players. Koulibaly was out with COVID, and they certainly missed him. They didn't start Insigne in this game. Gattuso wanted to give him some rest, much needed rest, but he ended up coming on in the second half. but you can't lose to Genoa, especially when you're trying to compete for a top four spot if you're Napoli, especially given some of the form you've been in recently. You had to try to come out and make a statement against, yes, an improving Genoa side, but certainly a beatable team. You know, I'm not going to drone on about Napoli and their inconsistent play and whatnot, as I always do. But I mean, come on. I mean, what is going on with this side? I'm telling you, you know, losing to Juventus in the Italian Super Cup, I think, kind of paralyzed the side a bit. And they haven't been the same since. Their form has been totally inconsistent and their play has been erratic ever since. You know, since the calendar has turned to 2021, it's kind of been feast or famine for this Napoli side. They've played 7 games. League games in Serie A, they've won 4 of them, they lost 3. There's no middle ground, there's no like getting some draws or whatnot. Even when they perform a little poorly, it's either they win or they lose. It's either, you know, 3 points or 0 points, all or nothing for them. Maksimovic started in this game because Koulibaly was out with COVID, and as I mentioned, that they certainly miss Koulibaly, who has been, you know, so instrumental for them since coming back. He put in a great performance against Atalanta in the first leg of the Coppa Italia semifinals, and, you know, was a big reason why Napoli kept Atalanta off the score sheet. But Maksimovic, you know, he just had a poor game. He was the one who made that bad pass to Diego Demme that led to that Pandev goal to give Genoa the 1-0 lead. It's like Maksimovic has forgotten how to play football and defend ever since he joined Napoli. You know, at Torino, he wasn't this great defender, but he was a good defender. He was a reliable, solid defender. And again, he just doesn't know what to do anymore now that he's at Napoli. Rachmani, he had to come on when Manolas left with an injury. He's another player Napoli brought in over the summer from Verona, and he was a really good player at Verona last season. They signed him in January. He stayed on loan to the end of the season here. You know, if you're a Napoli fan, you're thinking, you know, they're adding a good young defender, and Rachmani provides some depth and someone that could play along with Koulibaly or Manolas when you got to rest the other ones. But Rachmani has barely seen the field. He's been super shaky as well when he's out there. So, you know, now if you're Gattuso, you really have no reliable option at central defender if Koulibaly is out, if Manolas is out. And now, you know, this is the second time Koulibaly is going to miss some time. Manolas has been dealing with injuries. As I mentioned, he left in this game. So, you know, Napoli desperately needs someone to step up and play that center back position well when Koulibaly and Manolas are out. You know, even on that second goal that Pandev scored to make it 2-0 for Genoa, you know, the Napoli defense was just atrocious. So They definitely got to sort that out. And I know, you know, in the past, I said firing Gattuso would be the wrong decision. And I'm not saying that I still don't believe that. I still do think firing him isn't going to necessarily cure this problem. But it certainly wouldn't surprise me if that switch does come soon. I know, you know, De Laurentiis is probably going to stick with Gattuso given, you know, they play the second leg of the Coppa Italia semifinals against Atalanta this week. Then they play Juventus this week, and so you got 2 big games, and certainly these could be the final 2 games for Gattuso if the results don't go his way. So I think they're certainly going to stick with him for these games. They don't want to make a change given the significance of these 2 upcoming games. But if these results don't fall Napoli's way or they don't put in better performances, I think that could be the end of Gattuso. We know that Rafa Benitez, Walter Mazzarri, 2 former Napoli coaches under De Laurentiis are 2 that are being mentioned as possible guys to take over mid-season. Now, let me give Genoa their props. You know, the transformation, the turnaround, I've talked about it a lot, under Davide Ballardini is nothing short of remarkable. Since Ballardini has taken over at Genoa, they've earned amongst some of the most, you know, they're some of the most point-earning teams in Serie A. In 8 league games under Ballardini, they've won 5, they drew in 2, and just 1 defeat. You know, they have this good win against Napoli on their schedule as well now. You know, when at what point do we start talking about Ballardini getting coach of the year considerations? I know, you know, he wouldn't be a sexy pick for it, and, you know, rightfully so, Ivan Juric is going to get his praise for what he's doing at Verona, even Stefano Pioli for what he's doing with Milan, and, you know, I think Conte for what he's doing at Inter deserves his consideration for the award. But for me, I definitely think Ballardini for what he's doing at Genoa is worthy being mentioned as a possible candidate for coach of the year. It's just amazing what Genoa are doing. They were able to trip up Napoli and take advantage of a, you know, out-of-form Napoli side. So Napoli land on my ugly 4 this week. All right, moving on to Bite or Sell It to cover some of the storylines and rumors that have been dominating the Italian media in the world of football. Let's dive right into it. Number 1, Bite or Sell It. Right now, Nicola Barella would be the most important player for Italy at the summer's Euros. This is a tough one for me, but I will sell this one. Now, I love Barella and what he brings to Inter, what he brings to the Italian national team. His work rate is second to none. He's all over the field. He's a sneaky good midfielder. He's not afraid to tee up his own shot. We saw him score over the weekend against Fiorentina, as I mentioned earlier. He's good with distributing the ball. Such an unbelievable talent, arguably the best player in Serie A right now. Actually, when I had on Gab Marcotti from ESPN on my podcast to preview the upcoming Serie A season prior to the season starting, he picked Barella as the best player in the league, and Barella has not let Gab down at all. We kind of saw him take that big step forward last season under Conte, and he's making another incremental leap this season. And while I think that he certainly will be a critical player for the national team at the Euros this summer, and certainly could dictate how far Italy are able to advance, I think that there's one player that I would pick to be more critical for Italy this summer, and that's going to be Ciro Immobile. At the end of the day, we need a player that can be that constant threat in front of goal and put pressure on the opposition. And Immobile will certainly be our starting number nine, barring some dramatic twist. So for me, he would be, you know, our most important player heading into the Euros. We know Immobile isn't scoring, you know, quite at that same rate when he wears that Azzurri shirt compared to when he's playing for Lazio. And I know that frustrates a lot of us Italy fans, but, you know, he's certainly still our best option at number nine. He's certainly the guy that needs to be starting for Mancini this summer. And I just think that what he's able to produce for us in front of goal is going to dictate how far Italy are able to go in the Euros. You know, and I know Italy have looked a lot better, significantly better under Mancini compared to what we saw under Ventura. But Italy still have been a little bit inconsistent when it comes to scoring. We haven't quite been that consistent team in, you know, banging in two goals or three goals or whatnot. So I do think that Immobile is going to be our most important player heading into the Euro, especially if we want to make that deep run. So I love Barella. He's one of my favorite players to watch in Serie A. He's certainly going to be one of the most important players for Italy this summer, but I wouldn't single him as our most important player. I ultimately would go with Ciro Immobile for that. All right, number two, buy or sell it. Gasperini saying fatigue is to blame for Atalanta's collapse against Torino. I will buy this one. Now that doesn't justify Atalanta collapsing or excuse them for blowing a 3-0 lead, but I do buy it as a factor that contributed towards that collapse. You've heard me say it a few times here on this podcast. We have this condensed schedule due to COVID. Atalanta have been competing in Coppa Italia as well. We know they're in the semifinals currently against Napoli, and they're juggling Coppa Italia. They're juggling Serie A. So fatigue certainly has to be a contributing factor for them. They have the shortened off season. It's a condensed schedule now. COVID is certainly impacting players in that sense too, whether or not these players contract the virus or not. They're being impacted in terms of the condensed schedule. You know, I know Napoli are dealing with it too. Juve, Inter, these are all the teams still battling in the Coppa Italia semifinals. And, you know, every team is dealing with this condensed Serie A season. So it's not a schedule, I should say. So it's not necessarily an excuse, but I do think it is an applicable excuse in some ways. I know I'm kind of contradicting myself, but I do think it's an excuse that teams could utilize a bit. You know, soon the Champions League is going to start up, the Europa League is going to start up, and Atalanta are competing against Real Madrid, so they're going to have those games to juggle and add it to their schedule. And that's also kind of one of the reasons why I think, you know, I look at Inter as potentially the favorites to win the Scudetto and eventually catch Milan, because they don't have to juggle those European games. Milan are competing in the Europa League, so that's some extra games that they have to worry about. But, you know, in the full 5 weeks so far, since the calendar has turned to 2021 in this new year, Atalanta have played 11 games in 5 weeks. That's about two games per week. So you know, yeah, I think it's fair to say that fatigue maybe contributed a bit towards this Torino comeback. I don't want to take anything away from Torino because they could have folded. They fought hard and kept battling, so they deserve their credit. I'm not saying that, you know, the fatigue and this condensed schedule is the sole reason to blame for Atalanta's collapse, but I do buy it to be a contributing factor. Last one, number three, buy or sell it. Juventus should extend Cristiano Ronaldo's contract. I will buy this one. I mean, why wouldn't it? You know, Juventus want to keep Cristiano Ronaldo, arguably one of the best players in the world, in that Bianconeri shirt for a bit longer. His current contract is set to expire after next season, at the end of next season. So they do have Ronaldo guaranteed for another season on their contract. But the reports out of Italy are that they're looking to extend him for one more season. That would keep him in Turin past the 2022-2023 season. So essentially, you'd be getting at least two more seasons of Cristiano Ronaldo, barring potentially another contract extension. You know, Ronaldo, despite having just turned 36, we saw his, you know, wonderful game he put on against Roma and scoring that goal. He's still playing at such a top level. I mean, we see Zlatan Ibrahimovic nearing 40 and still playing at a high level. Ronaldo's no different. He's 36. I don't think that's at all contributing to, you know, any decline. We don't see any decline or any signs of a decline from Cristiano Ronaldo. You know, he's still one of the biggest threats, not only in Italy, but in all the world. He's battling for the Capocannonieri Award. You know, Juventus need Ronaldo. We saw him, again, he scored that goal out of nowhere against Roma, that, you know, when Roma were controlling possession early on in that game, and it totally kind of put, you know, perhaps put Rome off a little bit. So he still provides that spark of magic. Obviously, you know, Ronaldo and Juve has been a good partnership so far. I think Ronaldo's, you know, he's enjoying life in Italy. I think he's enjoying his teammates at Juve. I think he enjoys competing in Serie A and that challenge that it presents. So, yeah, I definitely buy Juventus wanted to extend Cristiano Ronaldo's contract. Definitely a good move, I believe, on both parties' ends. So a new segment I had started last week involves a combined starting 11. So after each round of Serie A, I pick one of the games to make my combined starting 11 from those two teams. Last week, I made my combined starting 11 from the Atalanta-Lazio game. You can listen back to that episode. That was episode 36 if you want to hear that lineup that I created from those two teams. For this weekend, I decided to choose the Juventus-Roma game to make my combined starting 11. Now, you know, from my combined starting 11, it doesn't mean that, you know, the players had to have been featured in that game, but they just have to be on the team. Maybe they didn't play in that particular game in that round. So without further ado, here's my combined starting 11 between Juve and Roma. I went with a 3-5-2 formation for this lineup. In goal, this is a no-brainer. Of course, I'm picking Szczęsny. He's one of the top goalies in Italy. He's one of the better goalies in the world. You know, he was given that tough task a few seasons ago of being the player who had to replace a legend and an icon in Gianluigi Buffon. And to Szczęsny's credit, he has been outstanding since he's joined Juve. He's been outstanding this season. He's having a nice season for Juve. He's made some critical saves for the Bianconeri this season. So Szczęsny easily was my pick for my goalie in this combined starting 11 over Pau Lopez. Moving on to defense, I'll go with Bonucci, De Ligt, and Gianluca Mancini. Bonucci is a great leader. We know that. He's a fierce competitor. He plays hard from the first minute to the final minute. He's great with the ball at his feet. He's comfortable with the ball at his possession. We know he has that ability to pick out that long pass over the top, so I obviously had to include Bonucci in my defense. De Ligt is just a special talent. He's young. He's improving. Obviously, I couldn't leave out the Dutch international. And Gianluca Mancini, he's my third defender I went with. Tough competitor himself, similar to Bonucci. He's a good passer himself. He's the guy that, you know, he kind of could surprise you at times and sneak in a goal here and there. He's really great in the air, especially on set pieces and corners. So I like Mancini to round out my defense. Moving on to the midfield, I went with Federico Chiesa, Weston McKennie, Jordan Veretout, Lorenzo Pellegrini, and Juan Cuadrado. Got to include Chiesa and Cuadrado, obviously, playing on the wings there. We know what a special player Chiesa is, and he's really coming along nicely at Juventus. He's been progressing each and every game. He has that ability to provide that special moment of magic, so we had to include Chiesa in the lineup. Cuadrado's work rate and his ability to run up and down that field is outstanding, and you know, perhaps there's only a handful of players that could even match him in that department. He missed some games this season for Juve, and you notice once he returned to that lineup what a difference he became, what a difference he made for Juve, and how much more dangerous that team was coming forward. So I had to include Cuadrado. And I really like my three central midfielders, McKennie, Veretout, and Pellegrini. They all work hard. They all kind of bring a little something different to the table. McKennie, his work rate, similar to Cuadrado, is outstanding. He goes hard all the time. Veretout is a great penalty taker as well. And Pellegrini is a great leader, so I like that midfield. And for the two players in my attack, of course, obviously, I included Cristiano Ronaldo, and I ended up pairing him with Edin Dzeko. This was a pairing that, you know, almost became a reality over the season when Juventus were being linked to Dzeko. Obviously, that didn't happen, but they will end up linking up in my combined starting 11. I don't really feel the need to justify Cristiano Ronaldo's inclusion. I feel like that's a no-brainer. Dzeko, he's still a good striker. He's still a reliable 15-plus goal scorer. He's a tall target. He could get his head, you know, on some of these crosses into the box that could come from Chiesa, could come from Cuadrado on the wing. So again, my lineup would be Szczęsny, Bonucci, De Ligt, Mancini, Chiesa, McKennie, Veretout, Pellegrini, Cuadrado, Cristiano Ronaldo, and Edin Dzeko. That would be my combined starting 11 between these two sides. My coach, I have to go with Paulo Fonseca. I know, you know, Pirlo just beat Fonseca head-to-head in this game, but I think Pirlo, he's still new and inexperienced, although he's improving. We've seen him develop as a coach early on in his career. And I think Fonseca, he's done an outstanding job with this Roma side. I know if you wouldn't think that if you listen to the Italian media and what you read sometimes on social media and whatnot. But, you know, we're talking about a great job that Fonseca has done, in my opinion. This team is battling for a top four spot. They're missing arguably their best player or their most talented player, perhaps I should say, Nicola Zaniolo. Dzeko, he was benched for a few games, and yet Roma are right there in contention for the Champions League. So I definitely think Fonseca is doing a great job this season. So he would be my coach to guide this combined starting 11. Be sure to tweet at me at Italiano Calcio. What would be your combined starting 11 between Juve and Roma? I would love to hear those. And be sure to use the hashtag TheCouchoCorner when you do send those over. So that will do it for the 39th episode of the Coucho Corner podcast. I hope you have enjoyed it. Once again, please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Feel free to leave a rating and comment. That would be greatly appreciated to help us grow our content. And until next time, guys, ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Coucho Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele. If you've enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.